Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Yourself podcast in association with MOTUS. Our next guest is a good friend with a fascinating research topic. Emma Kerwin is an IRC-funded final year PhD student who is supervised by Dr. Amory Creevan, Dr. Porik O'Sullivan, and Dr. Annette Burns. Her research is investigating loneliness among young adults. You're very welcome, Emma. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So Emma, we've had this discussion before, but can you do your best to define what is loneliness?
Yeah, so loneliness is the unpleasant or negative or distressing feeling that might accompany the perception where you feel that your current relationships, those relationships that you actually have and the relationships that you might like to have, you perceive a gap or a mismatch between those. So I suppose there's a couple of key things in there really when we're thinking about defining loneliness. One is that it's a feeling or a perception. You know, plenty of people enjoy spending time alone, or we have this other construct called social isolation, which is where a person is alone or has a lack of social contacts, whereas loneliness is more of a feeling. So a person can have many friends, many relationships, have lots of family and friends and lots of contact with them and still feel lonely because they feel that maybe those relationships don't meet their expectations or they feel that they don't fit in.
Yeah, so it's the difference between like objective and subjective really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a feeling or a perception.
Okay.
And what comes with that then is that we can't identify loneliness in other people.
Yeah.
You know, we have to rely on people to either indicate to us through measures or tell us that they're lonely. It's not something that you can see.
Right.
Whereas that objective social isolation, you might be able to identify in somebody else who maybe doesn't have any social contact, who maybe can't leave their house. That's more objective that we can see in other people.
Yeah, yeah, and it can work the other way around then as well, that somebody can actually objectively not have like that many close contacts but not feel lonely.
Yeah, of course, exactly, yeah. And then, of course, we've solitude, which is where somebody enjoys spending time alone. So there's all these different kind of, constructs.
And yes, on that topic, so obviously it's a complicated topic. So starting off now, 3 years ago, why were you interested in studying this topic?
Yeah, so I suppose my background is I have a master's in health psychology. And the reason I started that was because I kind of had an interest, I suppose, in those what we call psychosocial determinants of health. So things like our social relationships, perceived stress and things like that. So I suppose loneliness really is a psychosocial determinant of health. We know from lots of research that loneliness and our social relationships more generally are really important determinants of our mental and our physical health.
Yeah.
So that's really how I got into loneliness. And then you mentioned as well at the start that it's loneliness in young adults is what I'm specifically interested in. So I suppose typically young adults have been a little bit neglected in the loneliness research and in the conversation around loneliness. I suppose with COVID now, more recently, there has been more of a recognition that any age group can experience loneliness. But typically, we had this idea that a lonely person was maybe an older person who may be widowed or who lives alone, and we had that kind of idea of what a lonely person is, whereas now we're really recognising that loneliness can be experienced by any age group, and actually younger adults are experiencing very high levels of loneliness or comparable levels with older adults.
Yeah, you've actually answered three of my questions already. I want to go back. So I understand why. So loneliness obviously ties closely to mental health because obviously loneliness is a negative experience, negative emotions, poor mental health. You mentioned physical health. Why might loneliness lead to bad physical health?
So there's several reasons why loneliness is linked to our physical health. One reason is that loneliness is stressful. It's stressful to feel lonely, and loneliness is a stressor in itself. Another as well is that our social relationships more generally influence our health. So, for example, if your partner decides to take up, running or take up a new health program, you might be influenced by that. So more generally, we're influenced by our social relationships and our health behaviours. Another reason as well is that people may use things like alcohol or drugs or even smoking as well. There's lots of research on smoking to cope with the feelings, the negative feelings that come with loneliness. So it can indirectly influence our health through these behaviours, like maybe drinking more alcohol or smoking or, drug taking as well.
Yeah, and then there's obviously big overlap between the mental health and physical health.
Exactly, yeah. So obviously through mental health, loneliness may lead to kind of mental health difficulties too, which can lead to physical health.
Perfect. And so going back to now what you mentioned about the young adulthood, so you wanted to focus on that because the majority of research is in older adulthood. So did you, when you first started, did you expect that there would be major differences between young adults, the relationship between loneliness and young adulthood and loneliness and older adults?
Yes, I suppose that's part of why we need more research on young adults is because even if you think about it, young adults and older adults have very different social lives. There's very different norms for their social lives even.
Yeah.
So for example, older adults often by choice have a smaller group, a smaller social circle, or their social circle has become smaller over the course of their lifetime. Whereas young adults are at the stage where they're actually widening their social circles. So things like finishing secondary school and beginning college, university, or starting a new job, you're actually expanding your social circle. Yeah. And you may obviously lose ties that you had previously. So there's completely different norms and expectations for those life stages in relation to our social relationships. What was the question?
Do you expect there to be differences between young adults and older adults?
Yes, so I suppose based off of that, you can expect that there will be differences in the causes of loneliness and also their experience of loneliness.
Yeah, and then I obviously know you obviously couldn't look at this unless you dedicated your life to it, but do you think there's a generational difference in loneliness? So I feel like loneliness has become more common talk with mental health in general. You know, it's more in pop culture now. So do you feel that like this generation of young adults have worse or better loneliness than previous?
That's a really interesting point. I've loads of thoughts on this because you can bring in the whole social media kind of conversation around obviously social media and loneliness as well. And I think it's become a more popular word, or it's become kind of a buzzword, I think partly because of COVID-19, but also maybe our awareness, as you said, like around other mental health issues, and although loneliness isn't a mental health issue, you know, it kind of comes up in that conversation as well. And there's an interesting study actually where they compared the prevalence of loneliness over the last, I'm not sure how many years, it could have been 50, 60, 70 years, to see what is loneliness actually increasing in young adults over time.
Yeah.
And the results were that it is a very small amount. I mean, quite not a huge amount. It hasn't increased a huge amount. But I think there is, again, that debate about social media and loneliness, and is social media causing loneliness? And I think that comes into play too when you think about, is loneliness more...
Well, you could also argue that it's helping.
That's the thing. Yeah. And what the research suggests is that it's not necessarily about how much social media, how often you're using social media or how much you use it, but how you use it.
Yeah.
So kind of passive scrolling is associated with higher levels of loneliness, whereas actually maybe using social media to keep in contact with that friend that moved abroad, or to keep in contact with your friends that are all over the world or whatever, that actually can be related to lower levels of loneliness. So I suppose it's not just how much you use it, but how you use it that matters.
I think as well, it's kind of interesting going back to the objective and subjective. You know, somebody could have a load of followers on Instagram, let's say, but still be lonely. Whereas it's kind of like social media just allows you to portray possibly how many friends you have, in inverted commas.
Yeah, so, and we did, I don't know if you're aware that we did a qualitative interview study with 27 young adults in Ireland. And we asked them about social media. I suppose it's such a huge part of many young people's lives. And they mentioned that part about the fact that social media, it makes you think that other people have a better social life than yourself.
Yes.
Even though they're obviously, it's a highlight reel, essentially. That's what people said. And that can make other people feel lonely then.
Yeah. And I suppose as well, like when you're looking at, like when you're on social media as well, I think sometimes people feel that I'm the only one who might be lonely as well.
Young adults in our study mentioned that too, yeah.
Okay, and so perfect transition into your qualitative study. So what exactly was your qualitative study looking at, and what were some of the findings then?
So like I mentioned there, there has been typically kind of a focus on older adults in the loneliness literature more broadly, and particularly when it came to people's own experiences and what loneliness means. We didn't really have a great picture of that for young people. So really we were lacking, what does loneliness actually mean? What do young people think the word even means itself? So really we wanted to understand their own views and perspectives and their experiences of loneliness from a young adult perspective themselves. So as I said, we interviewed 27 young adults across Ireland, and we asked them questions like, what does loneliness mean to you? What do you think causes loneliness in young adulthood? We asked them if they had experienced it themselves, would they be willing to share that experience with us? And we asked them then things about social media, comparing yourself with others. Of course, we had to ask about COVID-19.
Okay, and what were the findings?
So we found kind of two broad themes. So really, the first theme was that loneliness was quite closely related to development. So young adults felt that loneliness was a normative or even kind of an inevitable part of growing up.
Yeah.
So they felt that it was closely tied to those key social transitions that we would expect young adults to experience. So finishing secondary school and beginning university or starting a job, things like moving away from home for the first time, maybe moving abroad for the first time. And they felt as well that related to that development piece, that actually some people were able to identify positive aspects to an experience of loneliness in relation to self-development. So they felt that although loneliness is this negative experience and it involves negative emotions and feelings, that actually looking back on their development, that they could see some positives, like the opportunity for growth, an opportunity for self-development. So that kind of tied into that development piece as well.
Yeah.
And then our other kind of key finding was that loneliness was closely related to expectations for this life stage. So young adults felt that they're expected to be social and outgoing and to have a wide group of friends. And that if you don't meet these expectations, then they kind of felt nearly marginalised or kind of excluded. Mm. And also related to the expectations was the piece around that loneliness is typically, you expect a person to be an older adult when they experience loneliness. So young adults felt that for them to feel lonely was kind of wrong, or there was a stigma around loneliness as well.
The first thing that came to mind, I think, do you know the term like going out of your comfort zone, I think is the epitome of, I've moved abroad a few times, and when you move abroad and you don't know anyone, I think that is the epitome of going outside your comfort zone. I think that's best represented by loneliness, I think, like, because you're outside your social network.
Yeah.
And then the second point you made was in relation to
expectations.
But again, that goes back to evolutionary, does it not? Like, popularity has always been a thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it in that sense, actually. I hadn't interpreted it in that sense. Yeah, I suppose it was around, really, they felt that, I know even one young person mentioned about the expectation to like finish school and go to college, that if you don't, it was nearly about conforming, kind of, if you don't conform to these norms that you expect young people to be, that then you felt lonely as kind of an outsider, that you don't fit in. It was kind of around that piece of fitting in, I think.
Okay, and that ties into mental health then, I suppose, because if they don't,
yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And then, so going back to COVID, because you looked at that, so I'm guessing the area has exploded, research has exploded since COVID. So like, what are some of the findings around COVID that you found in your own study and then just in general?
So in our study, of course, we asked about COVID, and I should actually say as well that we collected this data during COVID. So it was in 2021, and we did it virtually across Zoom because obviously we couldn't meet in person. So it was really in the context of COVID that we did the study. So we asked participants about COVID, and they kind of said what you'd expect, that they really felt like they were missing out on normal activities that young people generally get to do. Some people who'd started college during COVID didn't have the opportunity to move down to kind of mingle with their course mates. It was all online, and they felt like they were really missing out, I think, on a part of, again, that norm, what you'd expect young people to be able to to do. So the research on COVID in general, I think, is quite mixed about whether loneliness levels actually did like significantly increase
like
or not.
Everything in psychology.
Like everything in psychology, yeah, absolutely. But I suppose what's interesting, I think, with loneliness research and COVID is how COVID has changed kind of many of the, like, many of our norms for working and everything. So for example, like, I started the PhD all online, and I still continue to do some of it at home from home. I think pre-COVID that probably wouldn't have been the norm. So even though, you know, restrictions have ended, and you can say that maybe loneliness might have reduced, if anybody who may have been feeling lonely during COVID, maybe now their social lives have gone back to normal, but there still kind of is a lasting effect of COVID on everything that we do now, working, socializing. So I think it's interesting maybe to see in a few years, kind of look at that, the lasting effects of it.
Do you think there could be like a stunt in development for younger people?
Yeah, I suppose it's interesting, like, even when you think about if young adults felt that they didn't have the opportunity to get their like first year in college that other people did, there may be that kind of development piece.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking now, like, I remember when we went back into the schools afterwards, a big thing was a load of teachers were saying to me that the issue was on the playground children just weren't speaking, and that died out maybe after like a month or so, but that kind of stunt, you know, they were concerned about it. So
what was interesting as well is that some young adults in our study mentioned about feeling lonely. So when we did the study, it was in 2021, so I can't even remember. We had like pockets of restrictions and then parts where we didn't have restrictions, and it was kind of, you know, to and fro and like that. And some young adults mentioned about feeling lonely, basically just kind of the shock of being back in groups or that kind of readjustment period to getting back to the social lives that we had before. And that maybe if you weren't adjusting as quick as other people, that that could make you feel lonely too, even though you're back in your regular social activity that you might have been before COVID. So that's interesting.
I suppose it's individual differences, you
absolutely,
know,
like
there's some students, I suppose, maybe they never readapted and they would have been fine if COVID didn't happen, you know.
So, yeah.
But okay. And then on that topic, then you mentioned the positive aspects that some of them saw. It's a part of development. So can you talk a bit more about that, about how, like, is loneliness always negative?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that finding was really interesting for us about the positive aspects to loneliness. So I suppose, I think what it really highlights is just that feeling a little bit of loneliness or short-term loneliness is actually really normal. It's a really normal aspect of development. It's a normal aspect of, like, doing things out of your comfort zone, you know, starting college, maybe where you don't know anybody in the university, or starting a new job where you don't know anybody, or moving away from home. And that kind of loneliness around those transition points in young adulthood is actually really normal, and there's nothing wrong with somebody if they feel loneliness. Then I suppose just to caveat that is that sometimes loneliness can be really intense, or it can be really long term, what we call chronic loneliness, where a person just can't seem to shake that feeling, can't get out of the loop of feeling loneliness, and they might benefit from support like mental health supports, or, you know, telling a friend or a trusted person. But I suppose what that positive aspect really highlighted is that those short-term feelings of loneliness, where a person looks back on a previous experience, that they might be, it mightn't necessarily be the worst thing that's ever kind of happened, or it's kind of more so that they look back and say, "Oh, that was really tough, but I got through it, and it gave me an opportunity for self-reflection."
Yeah.
So, for example, one person said about how experiencing loneliness for them gave them an opportunity to think about, "Okay, what do I actually really want in friendships? Obviously, the relationships that I have now aren't fulfilling me at the moment. What would I really like?" Or, you know, I think their quote, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, you know, we deserve to have people that we enjoy being around and that they enjoy having us around. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily that they could identify positives while they were in an experience of loneliness. It's more looking back on a previous kind of transient experience.
But I suppose, do you know, like, you can look at, let's say, like, worry is an emotion that we experience to help us prepare for something. Anger is something that there's an issue that we need to resolve. So I suppose, like, do you think it could be beneficial if we're teaching that loneliness is just another emotion? It's not positive or negative, but it's just our brain trying to tell us that we need to kind of get out there. And,
like, again, we've mentioned that evolutionary perspective on loneliness, and really that proposes that loneliness is a fundamental, like, it's a fundamental experience to being human. It's just a part of being human, the same as hunger, thirst, anything like that. It basically signals to us that we need to go out and create connections, or motivate us to create new connections or to strengthen the connections that we have.
This is a difficult question. I know it's conceptual. Would you categorize loneliness as an emotion, or would you categorize it as like a need?
I think loneliness is an experience
that
involves negative emotions, is the way I would describe loneliness. So when we asked young adults, what does loneliness mean to them? People said things like a temporary depression, words like sadness. So they described kind of the emotions that you might feel when you're experiencing loneliness. But I don't think you feel an emotion and say, "Oh yeah, that's loneliness." Like, it probably takes a little bit of thinking about.
Yeah, it's like a contemplative experience, as you say.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, though.
No, I actually think that's really important, because I think we need to, like, better conceptualize, like, language.
Yeah.
You know, to help people better understand it, you know, that don't get it.
Yeah.
And then, this is an interesting question I've never asked you. Cultural differences. I don't know, have you looked at that? Because I think, like, in Ireland, again, I don't know, did this come up in your qualitative study? Obviously, our culture, not completely, but a big part of it is drinking. And I feel that people who don't drink, I think their chances of experiencing loneliness goes up a lot.
Yeah.
And so actual, like, or like, maybe not just culture in general, but like, have you ever thought about, like, any other societal factors that influence loneliness?
That one about the alcohol is really interesting, because I know I mentioned previously about if somebody's experiencing loneliness, they may use alcohol to cope. You know, it's kind of a health behavior, a health risk behavior that we might associate with loneliness. But actually, for young adults, and I can't remember exactly where I read this, but it was just an interesting point about the fact that for young adults in Ireland, a lot of socialising revolves around drinking alcohol. And actually, it revolves around binge drinking, really, when we think about it. So to say that loneliness is associated with binge drinking or with drinking high levels of alcohol is kind of counterintuitive for young adults in Ireland.
Yeah.
So that's something that I had to think about the fact that if loneliness is related to high alcohol consumption, is that the same for young adults in Ireland?
Yeah.
Because a lot of our socialising revolves around drinking too much, really, alcohol. And also things which I find really interesting and something that I should really read more about is our built environment. So if you think about it, if we don't have spaces for spaces for meeting with people, let's say, so like we don't have gardens where you can safely meet with other people, or maybe the way that your housing estate is built is that you don't ever bump into anybody else when you're, you know, walking to the shop or whatever.
Yeah.
Those things can all lead to loneliness. Because sometimes when people are feeling lonely, it's those weak ties, the people that you bump into on the street or the person that you bump into in your cafe, that can help to alleviate those feelings of loneliness. Yeah. So that's kind of something that I think is very interesting, the built environment. And then, of course, things like poverty, because if somebody's experiencing poverty, they may not be able to do those social activities that other people are able to do and be able to meet people and kind of, I suppose, become part of a group.
Yeah, because what came up in my research was like we weren't specifically looking at it, but like sport in young people is just huge, like in relation to meeting other people as well. In our qualitative study, there was one point that a student made that basically when they go into secondary school, they were like, I don't need to go up and like meet new people. I'll meet them through sport.
Yeah.
You know, naturally. And yeah, I just think sport's so important. And then like when you take like socioeconomic status into account, that can kind of reduce it. So I'm going to move on to your next study then. Scoping review.
Yes.
So can you talk, what did you investigate and what were findings?
Yes. So we wanted to understand what characteristics of young adults have been previously included in loneliness research. So, and what we found was that the majority of loneliness research includes university students, which we know is called a convenient sample, because it's convenient for researchers to recruit the people in their universities for psychological research. And although like that's helpful, of course, but we know that university students don't represent the full range of young adults. So I suppose that's something going forward in loneliness research that we need to be mindful of, is trying to include, you know, wider community samples as opposed to just including university students in research. So there's a lot of debate in the research around whether there's gender differences in loneliness, so whether maybe males experience more loneliness than females or vice versa. And what we found is that there wasn't most studies didn't look at gender differences, which is a finding in itself. But of those that did look at gender differences, there was kind of mixed findings, but the most found no significant difference.
Right.
But I know I had mentioned this to you before, we've had a conversation about this, about the fact that that might relate to how loneliness is measured, because there is a stigma attached to loneliness. People don't want to admit that they feel lonely for fear that they'll be kind of perceived negatively from other people. And that particularly stands true for males, typically. So men don't like to kind of admit to feeling lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes if we measure loneliness by asking somebody, how often in the last week have you felt lonely? Sometimes men will underreport loneliness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that can really affect, I suppose, the gender differences.
Okay, perfect. And you are moving then into your final study. So can you explain what you are planning on looking at?
Yes, so loneliness is quite complex. So as I mentioned about when I was talking about that positive aspect, and that, you know, short-term or occasional feelings of loneliness are actually quite normal. That's what we might term transient loneliness. So short-term or occasional feelings of loneliness that might come with things like transitions, moving to university, things like that. But then, of course, we have chronic or the long-term loneliness. So I suppose what we're really interested in doing is looking at, can we distinguish patterns of loneliness over time in young adults? And then are there particular patterns of loneliness that relate to health outcomes?
Yeah.
So outcomes like health behaviours or maybe mental health issues.
Okay. And what are expected findings?
We would expect that young adults experiencing chronic, that more long-term, maybe more persistent loneliness would have negative health outcomes in comparison to those who experience transient loneliness.
Okay.
I think it's important at this age, at young adulthood, to kind of distinguish between those transient and chronic.
How do you know if your participants would be able to tell the difference?
So in some previous research, the way that they would describe transient, they might have three, so they might measure loneliness over 3 years. So they might have three time points where it's a person comes back for over three years. And maybe the way they might describe it is if somebody has loneliness at one time point, that's transient loneliness and they didn't have it again.
They resolved
their loneliness. And then you'd have other participants who may be experiencing loneliness over the three time points, and that's obviously maybe chronic loneliness, more persistent. So I suppose the participants don't need to know the difference between transient and chronic. It's just recorded over the three time points.
And then, like, that's probably a really important application then, that basically if you do find that those who have chronic rather than transient loneliness, they are the ones who have the mental health issues. What you're doing then is, I suppose, I'm not going to say your responsibility, but an application of your research would then be that you need to make people more aware that transient loneliness is not negative.
Yeah, I suppose that's where it all stemmed from, is that we found in our qualitative, in our interview study, that, you know, some loneliness is quite normal. And I suppose when you think about it, if loneliness is quite normal, and if a lot of people are experiencing those short-term feelings of loneliness, it can't be, well, it could be maybe, but it surely isn't that... It's not associated with really, really poor outcomes if so many people are experiencing this kind of transient, and if it is quite normal. And I suppose what's important is that when we want to intervene, or when we feel that people need intervention for loneliness, or when people need support, it's important to distinguish who's experiencing the transient loneliness that may be resolved and that maybe comes with a transition, and those that are experiencing that chronic loneliness that they really can't seem to shake this feeling and they need support.
Yeah.
So I think when we think about interventions, it's important to understand who's experiencing.
Do you think that's well known in general? The difference between transient and chronic loneliness.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Before you started the PhD, did you know the difference?
No, I didn't.
So I think
I think it's part of loneliness that really interests me, is that transient versus chronic. I think as well it's important, because to change the conversation around loneliness, I think kind of making out that loneliness is that there's something wrong with somebody if they feel lonely, or that it's this disorder, isn't helpful. It's not helpful. If so many people are experiencing this, you know, we should be opening the conversation around loneliness and kind of reducing the stigma attached. Yes. And I think sometimes making it feel like it's a disorder doesn't help people to talk about it.
Yeah,
and
And this is a conversation we were having today, that the stigma, like removing the stigma doesn't mean, oh, I'm feeling negative today, so I need to seek mental health support. You know, that's not reducing the stigma. That's just putting too much pressure on mental health services.
Yeah.
And so kind of differentiating between that is really important. Then in relation to applicability, like, anything else did you feel at the end of your PhD that, like, in relation to application, like, if somebody is feeling lonely, like, do you, after 4 years of study now, have any recommendations? Chronic loneliness now.
Chronic loneliness, it's quite like everything, I suppose. I suppose people need to seek support if they feel that they really can, because as we said, loneliness can be related to kind of more severe mental health issues like depression and anxiety. And of course, then more research needs to be done with young adults. But we know that chronic loneliness in other groups, like older adults, is related to very poor health outcomes.
Yeah.
So I suppose seeking support and for chronic loneliness. I think, though, if people are experiencing, particularly young adults, if they're experiencing loneliness, that it can be helpful. What we found in our study anyway, is what young adults said, is that it can be helpful to actually accept and to reflect on why you're lonely. So again, it comes back to that stigma piece, I think, where sometimes people don't like to admit that they're feeling lonely, but actually accepting that you feel this way and reflecting on maybe why can be helpful for you to identify that trigger, or identify what's making you feel lonely.
Would you identify that as cognitive reappraisal, like CBT? Is reinterpreting, or would you say it's just acceptance?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm
not sure. There's overlap, I suppose.
Yeah, and then like some people said things like, you know, if I'm feeling lonely, do something nice for myself, to take the time for myself.
Yes.
And then some other young adults said that what helped them was telling a trusted person. So I think opening up the conversation around loneliness to kind of reduce the shame that's attached to it.
Yes.
Can be helpful too.
Yeah.
So that people can share that with other people.
Yeah, so that kind of goes back to emotion regulation strategies then, which anybody listening has heard me harp on about again and
just
again.
Just to kind of say again about, you know, if people are experiencing chronic loneliness that they just can't shake. I think sometimes too, it's not helpful to give advice to people that always relies on the person. Because as I said, things like our built environment, you know, our social lives, like society more broadly can contribute to loneliness too. So sometimes it can be hard for a person to take it on themselves to make themselves feel better too, which can be difficult.
That's another big thing that Lucy Fawkes talked about, was in relation to if you're going into schools telling them this is how you regulate your emotions, somebody who's suffering like extreme trauma or poverty, you're told it's your responsibility, and that's shame, like, you know, that's putting the blame on them.
So
that's obviously an issue. I think we've covered like all your studies, anything. Is there anything else in relation to loneliness that you'd like to mention?
I think we've covered
it all.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I always ask this question as well to PhD students. Unlimited funding, what would you choose to research next?
Transient and chronic loneliness.
Okay.
I would love to design a longitudinal, so a long-term study looking at transient and chronic loneliness, because for my third PhD study, I'm using pre-existing data because it's quite a large data set, and obviously I don't have the time or the money to be able to do that. But if I did have unlimited funding and unlimited time, I would love to follow young adults over, I don't know, a long period of time, over years. And
just to see what happens.
I suppose you're trying to look at what, so we might do a couple of like risk factors, like what maybe are the risk factors for people experiencing transient or chronic loneliness. So maybe measure some things at the start and then measure some outcomes at the end.
Last question. Obviously, you're at the back end now of your PhD. So if any of our listeners are future PhD students or just starting, what recommendation would you give them?
That is a very good question. First, that it flies, the 3 years. So
yes,
to take into account that it goes so quickly. Probably to maintain a good relationship with your supervisor. So I'm very lucky that I have very supportive supervisors, and I think that's really helped. And to I suppose listen to any advice that anybody gives you.
We haven't got that one yet, so that's good.
Oh really?
No. And final question, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Emma Corwin 8. Yeah, this is Twitter, I suppose.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Emma. That was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.